Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of this morning's message is, would you read it with me? Something is about to happen. I promise no more balloons. Although if I catch any of the usual suspects sleeping in the middle of my sermon, I might have one more balloon here just to pop and get you awake. Our text is from Mark 13, the gospel reading. Let me read just these verses. Jesus said, pay attention. Keep on the alert. For you do not know when the appointed time is. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep on the alert. And as if to magnify the message, I've arranged the siren to come just at this time in the sermon. Are you ready? Would you turn in your worship folder, the back of that folder, and you'll find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Something's About to Happen. Well, let me ask you, that feeling, something is about to happen. Have you ever experienced that? It happens to me, I admit it, and often it causes a problem between me and my wife. Often Beverly just does not enjoy watching movies with me. Why? Because believe it or not, sometimes I can't keep my mouth shut. Before the actors open their mouths, I speak their next lines. Before the camera does its job, I describe the next scene. And worst of all, I predict the conclusion of the story well in advance of the movie's ending. It's a bad habit. I admit it. Now, I'm not sure if this is some uncanny ability or it's just due to the predictability of modern scripts. Regardless, often I know what's about to happen, and I just can't keep it to myself. Now, dear, I promise, I will try in the future when we watch movies to keep my mouth shut. But just in case, go down to Canadian Tire and find a big roll of duct tape that can fit across my mouth. That feeling, something is about to happen. Has it ever happened to you? Something is about to happen is the theme of our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 13, the parable of the soon coming Lord of the house. And it really is the theme of the entire brand new Christian church right after Jesus' resurrection. One could say the early church lived on tiptoes, waiting in expectation. St. Mark puts it this way in the gospel. Take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know. I didn't have a balloon. You do not know when that appointed time will come. Standing on tiptoes, eyes focused on the horizon. The language of the early church was strained trying to describe this expectation. Listen to some of the things they said in Holy Scripture. The kingdom of God is at hand. The night is far gone. This present age is passing away. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Every word, every deed, every prayer seemed to be shaped by the desire for Jesus' second coming, Judgment Day, the end of the world. Now, friends, sometimes today we live on tiptoes anticipating the future. We know the energy that an anticipated future can bring to our present. Consider all the presents and cards and decorations and programs and sermons that have to get prepared for the oncoming Christmas season. Consider an engaged couple and all the preparations they must make for the oncoming wedding. I just met with a couple this week in my office. So excited. The groom-to-be will be baptized on Christmas Day, and soon after that, they're planning their marriage. They're so excited. Consider expectant parents. You know the routine. Who assemble the crib, paint the nursery, and just can hardly wait. But each of us here today also know the sense of disappointment that comes when our hoped-for future doesn't arrive, or when it comes and goes with no real significance. When Christmas comes and goes and things didn't work out the way you wanted, when wedding plans don't work out, when the baby never arrives, when things don't work out as we anticipate, we ask, is something really about to happen? At times we wonder, don't you wonder with me, is Jesus ever coming again? Maybe our questions sound like this: are my efforts in life really making any lasting difference for the future? Is something about to happen? Is my future secure? Or is the world around me right when it makes its annual pronouncement, there is really nothing certain in this life but death and taxes? You see, the early church must have also wondered, was Jesus ever really coming back? St. Mark writes, take heed, be on the alert. You don't know when the appointed time will come. Be on the alert. You don't know when the master of the house is returning, whether in the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Surely these early believers were not immune to the loss of faith in the coming kingdom of God. Surely they were not immune to a loss of faith in God in the face of their uncertain future. The days wore on. They were persecuted every day because of their faith. The memories of the risen Jesus were fading. Would he come back? They sang, come, Lord Jesus, come. But instead, angry Roman soldiers marched and came. They sang, this old world is passing away, but the evil world around them seemed to be getting worse and worse. How about today? You see, people cannot stand on their tiptoes waiting forever. The early believers could join us in confessing, Lord, we don't have the strength within us to stand on our tiptoes forever. We don't have the strength within us to fix our faith firmly in God. We are sinners whose faith falters. Our future seems to be too slippery. Our hands are not strong enough to grasp onto God's promises. If that's true, and it is, then St. Mark really has some good news for us today. This good news that St. Mark's brings us today is cross-shaped good news. For the source of our hope and our strength is not in our faith. It's not in our ability to stand on tiptoes. The source and strength of our hope is in an act of God. The source and strength of our hope is in a fact of God, an accomplished fact. What we're talking about is the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for our sins and his glorious resurrection from the grave. My friends, we have some wonderful news to believe and to share. Something has happened. In our gospel reading, did you catch it? Jesus said, his second coming may come at evening, at late night, when the rooster crows, or at dawn. And St. Mark uses the very words of Jesus to structure and to write the rest of his gospel. Let me show you what I mean. In the text of the parable in Mark 13, we are told that Jesus, that the Lord of the house may be coming at evening. And in the very next chapter, we read these words. And when it was evening, Jesus sat at the table with his disciples. And taking bread and wine in his hands, he tells them that this is the same body and blood that soon will be broken and shed upon a cross for the sins of the world. In the parable, we're told that the Lord may come at late night. And soon, Mark records in the next couple of chapters, late that night, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to prepare for his appointment the next day with the cross. In the parable, we're told, the Lord may come back when the rooster crows. And in the very next chapter, Mark describes the event of Peter denying Jesus the third time, just when the rooster crows. In the parable, we're told, the Lord may come back at dawn. And St. Mark records these words. As soon as it was dawn, Jesus was bound by Roman soldiers and led to the cross. What has St. Mark heard in Jesus' words about the soon coming Lord of the house? He has heard and proclaims to us. And by the way, if you've tuned out, now is the time to tune in. For here is the central theme of our sermon this morning. St. Mark tells us that everything uncertain in our future is anchored in the certainty of the cross. The cross tells us what is our sure and only lasting hope, Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him risen for me. This same message we sing again and again in the hymns of the church. Listen to just these three short verses from a couple of well-known hymns. From hymn 427 in our hymn book, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall thy cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. And I must confess, my single favorite verse of my single favorite hymn is hymn 761, Rock of Ages. And here's what it says. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And again back to 427, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. In the face of anything this world throws our way, are you listening? There is the cross. In the face of marching, angry Roman soldiers, my only true and lasting hope is this, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of an evil world getting worse every day, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of broken engagements, empty cribs, family heartaches, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of ends that never seem to meet, in the face of work that never in seems to cease, in the face of health that does not seem to be improving, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. And as we consider Judgment Day today, in the face of you and I standing before a holy and almighty God on the day of my judgment, my only sure and hope and certain hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. And when we look into the beautiful face of Jesus on the cross, what do we see? We see an absolute assurance of God's unloving, undying love for us. In the beautiful face of Jesus, we read and trust the words of the prophet Jeremiah, probably my single favorite verse from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:11. Listen carefully. Let the Spirit of God apply these words to your heart. As you look at the face of Christ on the cross for you, listen to these words. For your Father in heaven says to you today, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for your calamity. Plans to give you a future and a hope." My friends, something is about to happen. Every moment of the day is alive with the promise of God's future for us and Jesus coming again. Each tick, tick, tick of the clock brings us closer to God's new day, to kingdom come, to the return of the Lord for his church. In the church, like nowhere else, we can realize that something is about to happen. St. Mark says, "What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Every time we recite the creed and these words, "He will come to judge the living and the dead," God assures us that the frail human justice on this earth is not the only justice we will face. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Every time a baby is baptized, we are reminded of God's fatherly love and goodness that seeks us out and sustains us until kingdom comes. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time at this altar we hear the words of our Lord, "Take and drink, take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood given for you," we receive, as the ancient liturgy says, a foretaste of the feast in heaven to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time Christian people speak a word of forgiveness to somebody else in Jesus' name, we are speaking in a future tense, in a language one day all of creation will learn. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do you know what the last words of the Bible say? Do you know how the entire Holy Scripture ends? Do you know how the Bible ends that document that spans thousands of years? Do you know the final words in the book of the Bible we call the book of the Revelation? Well, just before the writer ends the book, just before St. John says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen," his final words and the final words of Holy Scripture are a prayer. They're a prayer and they are a hope and they are what our sermon today was all about. These final words are, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." In the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, something has happened. As he continues to come to us today in his word and in his sacraments, something is happening. But on the horizon, Can you see it? In the future, on the day we await with hope on our tiptoes, something is about to happen. He will return, and he will bring with him the end of this sinful world and the beginning of his eternal kingdom in heaven. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus, amen.